welcome to another incredible episode of Open Up and Bleed. I mean, I know you're probably sitting there, all million viewers sitting there confused.
Who is this person?
Well, the other way around, like, I know this guy.
Yeah.
This is,
the old Chinese
this,
rock.
Or is this
study.
Chinese rocks yet again? And then the answer is no, it's actually Open Up and Bleed, which is a great new show that replaced Chinese Rocks.
Yeah, my new favorite show.
Much the same way that, Rosh Hashanah.
Joey replaced Friends.
Rosh Hashanah replaced, or Easter replaced Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And Christmas replaced Hanukkah.
Or whatever pagan holiday was.
Exactly, and then the Jews just replaced the pagan. Oh yeah, I just want to turn this tape off.
The tape,
I love the music, bro. I came for the music, but it's always. No, I still hear it.
It's the turntables. There you go. It was the turntables, not the tape.
Oh yeah.
I turned it down. All right, guys.
That music.
Thanks,
was
Brian.
That music. Wow, that music was so my style.
Oh yeah. Is it actually
like
Hector Berlioz?
Perfect sex music.
Oh, I thought you were like literally saying it's Symphonie Fantastique.
Well, no, it's that too.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's like harem music from like the 1890s.
And then they start firing off cannons right when you come, right?
Is Let's that turn the fan off. I think the fan is horrible.
Okay, it might get hot, but it's loud.
Wow, delay is sexy. Okay, so Brent, I welcome you back to this space.
Thank you so much.
It's no longer a shared safe space like Chinese Rocks was. It's
was
now
it a safe space before?
Yeah, when it was Chinese Rocks, it was such a safe space. Like,
right,
anyone could come here and just feel totally blissed out, safe.
Sure.
Now it's Open Up and Bleed, a very vulnerable, unsafe space where
I'm
people
ready to get so emotional.
Let's get emotional. Let's just kick it off right off the bat. I've been thinking, when I think about you
right.
and us,
me.
I think about legacy.
I like to only think about me, so.
Well, right. Well, I think about us, too, because I'm more socially inclined.
Right.
I'm a social butterfly.
That's very true.
I love to collaborate.
Right.
I love
right.
other people's opinions and their just their
okay.
Creativity. Like, you had a lot of creativity. I think about our legacy.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
And kind of lack thereof. I feel like we did 180 episodes of our show or something
that
like that.
That is true, yeah.
And literally no one cared at the beginning. Yeah, no one cared at the end. And much to sort of like the contrary of the popular narrative of
right.
social media stick-to-itiveness and a certain DIY subversive darlings, we never gained an audience, a loyal following.
It's pure radio Darwinism.
You mean we just died out?
Yeah, we just died out.
Oh, was it, though? I mean,
or it's the K-Trunk curse.
I would say half the DJs.
What show has gone viral?
Half the DJs on K-Trunk have thousands and thousands and thousands
well,
of
we
fans.
We always claim to have thousands and thousands
but
of
yeah,
fans.
But my show now, this is only my seventh episode, and I have millions now.
Because I'm doing it right.
I'm doing it right.
Wrong.
Do you love these? What do you think of Trump?
I do love seeing him in the media.
Donald Trump,
he
right?
Just keeps. Should I be holding this?
I don't know. I just feel like maybe. Yeah, hold it.
I can try holding it. Might give more of a Rollins vibe. I went to a show last night and Henry Rollins was there.
Oh, really?
At a Ty Siegel show.
Did he perform or just watch?
He just watched.
He's a music lover, or if he would call himself a music fanatic.
Fanatic. Right.
I told you about the time that I met him, and I told him I was a fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he
you're
never
like,
returned any of my emails. I'm calling
fanatic.
You out on air, Rollins. Henry. You told me it's easy to contact you. Henry on the radio, Gmail, you told me.
He remembers you. He just doesn't want to deal with you. Like, that's
hey,
that's
I'm the motherfucker who's not going away, Rollins. I'll catch you at the next DIY punk concert. I'll put my fucking hands around your throat. And even though the fingers,
white hair straight off the scalp,
the fingers won't be able to touch.
You can still kill someone.
I will choke your ass. Yeah, choke. Wouldn't it be funny if, are you familiar, did you see this mildly viral and highly entertaining video of Ghostface Killah, like, addressing Action Bronson for being a little bitch, a little fat bitch. He's like, I got niggas who are gonna kill you, nobody can. Yeah. Like, they don't live anywhere, so no one's gonna find them.
Right.
They don't live anywhere. And he had the best posture when he was, like, doing it, you know?
I love that he was, like, playing that song that you could barely follow, and he'd just, like, be like, see that right there?
The only reason I bring it up is, don't you think it would be funny if Rollins, Henry, heard me calling him out here and then issued a similar, you won't put your hands around my neck!
Get your name out of my fucking
do not say my name.
Like, in the most stilted manner.
Do not say my name.
All right. We're going deep already. I can see it.
Well, I mean,
pop culture.
If you had to choose a DJ persona, do you prefer Rollins or me?
Well, you're not a DJ anymore.
This is DJ. I'm on air. I'm jockeying.
You're not jockeying the discs.
Yeah, I'm jockeying discs.
You are definitely.
Yeah, and discussions. I'm a discussion jockey.
Right.
Have you ever had a concussion, Brent?
I've never had a concussion or a discussion.
You've had so many discussions.
I avoid discussions like the plague.
Okay, so basically, I think we've come to the conclusion that we have no legacy. Chinese Rocks has no legacy.
Sure, but that's fine.
Then I was watching, right before I got here, the director's cut of Amadeus.
Right, right.
And that movie is also about music lovers.
Sure.
And it concerns itself specifically with legacy. Salieri,
right,
who at one point proclaims to have been the most popular composer in all of Europe, 30 years later is regarded as a nothing fool.
Right.
And his arch nemesis, the child of God, Mozart, is celebrated by all around the planet, not just Europe.
Well, remember that phase, maybe like 1-2 years ago, when we were like serially trying to poison people in the Chinatown area?
We were?
Yeah, a la Salieri. Wasn't he like slowly poisoning?
No, it was more mental. It's all mental. He didn't do anything. He just forced him to write this death requiem. At the height of his
consumption.
Yeah, exactly. His physical breakdown.
Right.
And so that led to that is real.
Right.
That is all heavily dramatized.
Super dramatic.
One thing that's super dramatic, but has been basically verified as real, is that one of the, I would say, 3 to 5 mascots of our former show, Kim Fowley, or at least kind of a go-to musician, we did a whole dedication show to him after his death. I think maybe the only person we did that for besides him was maybe Lou Reed.
I think we didn't even do that.
We
just took the show off for Lou Reed's death.
We did? He's the only guy to tribute on our show, and he posthumously has been confirmed as a, well, I guess everybody kind of knew he was a scumbag.
That's where our legacy lies, is like serial rapists, criminals in jail.
Yeah, he's a rapist.
It's gonna go
right? And he
super
raped
big.
One of the runaways.
Probably more than one, who knows?
Potentially more. And
he raped them all at once somehow.
And does that make us bad for celebrating his music?
It makes you bad.
Makes me bad? Yeah. Why?
You're the one who always
oh, come on. Don't. No.
Well, I'm putting this on you.
You know, you're like recasting it in your mind. You're saying like you never played a Kim Fowley song without me. You didn't like his music.
Well, both of those things are kind of true.
Dude, you played Kim Fowley's song.
I played Bama Lama Ring Wrong or whatever once.
Mm.
But
okay, so I'm the rape celebrator.
Yeah, you're the rape monger, for sure.
Okay, well then I guess that's a question.
My card is clean.
I guess that's a question I have to ask myself.
Yeah, ask yourself.
I haven't actively listened to Kim Fowley since reading the in-depth sort of whatever. But I assume one day I will listen to it again and potentially enjoy the music. And does that make me a horrible person?
Well, you're allowed to. I mean, you have like this is just like something that's an evergreen that comes in and out of your life. Like the
I'm just saying, how much does context play into
this? Was so much of your conversation like fodder, say 1.5 years ago when Woody Allen, all that was happening. You just love identifying with like you perceive to be the underdog.
The underdog. No, the underdog is clearly the person who has been traumatized and damaged by an exploitative person in power.
Yeah.
Okay, in this case, was Kim Fowley. Right, was the person in power.
Well, that's an underdog one-on-one. Like, they're an underdog like in a one-on-one context. But they become vilified by all of society, so they become an underdog on a much larger scale.
No, I don't have any sympathy for Kim Fowley. I'm just wondering how to approach someone's legacy.
Their work. Like, should you abandon it?
Does it matter for the work?
I guess it just bears like questioning like what you find valuable in the work, because like something like Woody Allen, it's a little easier to parse like the talent.
I mean what you value in Woody Allen is like his comedic sensibilities and his particular perspective and viewpoint on the world.
Right.
And if he is, well, I don't think that the record is really like out on Woody Allen.
What do you mean?
Like, I think like it's the Kim Fowley situation
is more clear cut. It's more of a Bill Cosby type situation.
Much more. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a scumbag or something.
I just don't even know, like, because I never read that article. It just
There were people witnessed the whole thing, whereas with Woody Allen, it's just two different accounts.
Right? Sure. So you're talking about now also a dead man's legacy, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Flannery Lunsford's legacy.
I don't think
as well.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you see that on Craigslist?
I saw that, dude. I saw it. Well, I have my own experience with him.
Negativo one.
A few days before all that, like a week or two. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into it too much.
Yeah,
but
we don't have to.
No, I mean, like I asked him.
He's just a protege of Kim Fowley for all of the listeners out there.
I didn't know that he was. I don't have the best drug dog, you know.
Okay, right.
And I,
because you're not a user yourself.
I'm not a user, so I like to take people at face value.
Sure.
And just be like, if someone has like really a lot of energy, manic energy, like I think that's interesting, and I think it's cool to harness that.
Right.
You know, and those are sort of people. I'm drawn to very shy people. I'm drawn to very energetic people. I'm drawn to knowledgeable people. Sure. Flannery seemed to be a very knowledgeable, energetic person. So I asked him for help with my short film that I was making.
Right.
And he brought a certain energy that was like, wasn't right for everybody. Did not feel correct.
Was he acting in it?
No, he was just helping, helping like art directed.
He was just
and
clashing just, with people on set.
He just brought a vibe that was very uncollaborative.
Right.
And so I had to ask him basically to not help anymore. You know, and which I don't like doing, and I generally don't do on my sets.
Sure.
You know, but he kind of took it far, and then I felt bad, and then I read the stuff. I mean, you're referring to like a Facebook post that was like related to a Craigslist ad that was basically vilifying him for trashing a room that he
sublet
from someone.
Sure. Someone said, which also has gone viral because I like searched for it on Google and it just came up on like Reddit or whatever.
Okay, well there it goes. So it's like, I mean, there's a lot of shit. Like the other day, a girl in New York posted a thing about like this guy I was going out with is a sexual predator.
Oh, right, yeah.
You saw that, right?
Yeah. I didn't click
it's
on
like,
it.
It's like, he abused me. He abused me. Here are the pics.
Right.
He's been fucking mad chicks with no protection. Da-da-da. And then the guy himself addressed it 2 days ago and was like, this girl is really unbalanced, really unstable. Talk to, like, my 10 ex-girlfriends.
Sure.
Talk to any of my friends. We were fighting all the time when we were going out.
Yeah.
The second I broke up with her, she's been blackmailing me. And it's like, you don't really know who to believe. I mean,
of course.
Those pictures of her bruises look very convincing, you know? And so I was totally like, whoa, this guy, I don't know who the guy is. So I'm like, fuck this guy.
Right.
This guy's a total piece of shit. And I looked at his picture and I was like, whoa, this is like, you know, this guy, I mean, why'd she even go out with the guy? I don't think he's very attractive, but that's just me. I'm, you know, I'm not attracted to guys. So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a way, but then the fact that he addressed it kind of, I still, like, how did she get those bruises on one hand, but on the other hand, like, yeah, I guess she, I don't know, you know, it's hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't, especially with things on the internet.
It's like, unless you've...
No references,
you
can't...
You have no references.
You just assume that things are, like, information's tainted. I don't bring up Flannery Lunsford to, like, cast more shame on him. I just bring it up because it's, like, kind of funny that it came out the same week as his mentor, Kim Fowley, getting, like, smeared across, like...
Yeah.
The internet.
I mean, I felt both of them felt like exposure to me.
Sure.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to throw shame on Flannery because I felt
it's also
bad.
Just like a really hilariously written.
Yeah, I think the
piece
way that
writing.
The person, well, they wrote it in the voice of "I am Flannery."
Right.
If you want me to destroy your shit, let me sublet your place. But like, I feel bad for her. I feel bad for him.
Sure.
Not just the shaming. I feel bad for him that like he is in a place emotionally and psychologically where basically he's not stable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If that's all true.
I would assume that if it's true that he's a drug user, if it's true that he's a drug user,
yeah,
then he's not emotionally and psychologically stable. And that's my, and sorry if I have a real like Reagan attitude towards it, but I would say people who are like hardcore drug users are not psychologically stable and I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know? I don't hang out with musicians anymore. I just hang out with my girlfriend.
Right. You've lost all contact.
I mean, yeah, you know, when I used to hang out with a lot of musicians, I'd say, like, it's a safe bet that half the people there were...
Unreliable.
Drug artists. Yeah.
I like that, drug artists. All right, let's get deeper.
Okay, let's get deeper. So, I am just thinking about, like, legacy, right? Because, like...
Yeah.
Now anyone can kind of have a legacy. Like it used to be like the best thing you were going to get was a couple of Polaroids.
Right. And now everyone has a Google search.
And maybe like a yearbook photo.
Uh-huh.
Like a yearbook photo.
Sure, there's a yearbook
and
photo.
And if you worked at a company long enough, the company might honor you. But now it's like, yeah, you got an identity that could live on in bytes, megabytes and gigabytes forever.
Sure.
Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You're more or less in control of it.
You could have that.
I mean, I think
it's just another form of media, which has like existed at least this past century.
Yeah, I know, but like you know, like you
it's
know,
not like
you,
everyone has
you have
that.
To work pretty hard, like 40 years ago, to publish a book with your name on it.
Sure.
Or like have a TV show.
Yeah.
Or like have your photos be seen by the general public.
Right.
Now, a lot of people, you know, there's a record of you. There's traces of people now, and I wonder. I just think about like okay like is that why I'm making movies like is
to create
that,
a record.
Legacy if that's why I should just spend a lot more time writing a blog it's way less labor intensive and less money and I could probably get a job.
Well, movies like have the potential to like create a bigger splash.
I thought you were going to change the world.
To change how young people see the world. Become inspirational.
I was so surprised last night at 2 a.m.
Okay.
I watched a movie that I thought was going to suck. I almost watched it. I'm like, I'm going to watch the first 10 minutes. And I was right. It sucked and turned it off. But I loved it.
What was it?
It was called It Follows.
Oh, you turned it off because it sucks.
No. I going into it, I was going to be like, this sucks.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't want to watch this shit. I know it's going to suck. And I loved it.
I ended up enjoying it.
Watched the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing with pleasure.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that. I have not seen that film.
You should see it.
Yeah.
It basically liberally grabs from the greatest hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
Sure.
In terms of its sort of like aesthetic, like the world it exists in.
Yeah.
Like where you could place it. Like the cars look nice because they're basically from the 70s and early 80s.
Right.
And like, but there's a girl with like a really weird smart Kindle device in it.
That's so many movies. Like, I don't know. You're not selling me on the, like,
no, I don't
play
know.
With that.
No,
it has
like the visual language of something like Jean Roland meets like a more contemporary sort of long take filmmaker, like you know, Tai Ming Liang meets like straight up John Carpenter. So there's like this sort of like, and it works well with the story. I think the trick to making a really good simple movie.
Horror movie or just
or,
any,
or
movie.
Any really successful movie is like, it has to be about like vision. Like if you can come up with a concept for a movie that's about like what
seeing.
A character sees and like what they don't see and that is the primary conceit of the story.
Yeah.
That is gonna be, if you do it well, a very successful piece of cinema.
Like you think like successful at the box office.
On all levels.
That's a fundamental thing for cinema.
That is one step towards making a masterpiece.
You're working and subverting with the medium itself.
If your movie is directly dealing... Look, you can make a masterpiece without worrying about that.
Sure.
But if you're directly dealing with that, a la Rear Window or something like... Or a la, like... I was gonna say like this movie that I actually don't like called Diving Bell and Butterfly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
I enjoyed that movie.
Right, and you know, if you're really talking about like vision and how do people, what do they perceive?
That's a very tactile way of trying to articulate that concept.
Well, anyway, this movie does a good job.
Yeah, I always thought that. Also, by the same token. Movies that have to deal with like performance and like the performances that everyone does, whether it's like undercover cops, like so many successful movies like have to do with like putting on a performance and seeing
example.
The cracks in performance.
But theater can do a really good job of that too, in a way.
Right.
Or at least the themes of theater can do.
Well, I agree that it has more to do with the history of theater than with cinema.
Yeah, yeah, no, it works in movies. I love it in movies.
Yeah.
No shade, but I just think the primacy of vision.
You can almost get more HD with it in movies, where you're like
you can
zoomed
up on the
in close
side of the cracks that you're talking about. Whereas, like, if you're just on
stage,
it's like
you just see the stakes right there.
My favorite, I've ever told about my favorite, one of my favorite undercover movies, or my kind of like performance criminal
based things,
Drug Wars,
right?
Johnny
which is
Toe.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of them, or it just came out?
There's just one.
I'm thinking of one of the other Johnny Toe.
Yeah, yeah, there's
things.
A bunch of those, like Triad.
Triad, yeah.
Yeah,
and
like, whatever.
Yeah. I have still not seen Drug Wars.
You gotta see that. That is a master.
Stakes seem so high. Like
so high.
Yeah. Like, basically, like... I mean, because in China, if you're caught...
Yeah.
Smuggling...
Right.
Death.
Death
right?
to all.
Yeah.
In China, if you're caught anything, death. Like, if you're caught having sex in Uniqlo.
Are you serious?
Death.
Well, has that happened?
About that viral video? There is a video that went viral in China about where it was a couple having sex. They filmed themselves having sex in Uniqlo.
But they weren't put to death.
No.
But one of them died.
No, neither of them died.
Okay,
right. I just exaggerating because I think it's funny.
I did see like a woman fell into an escalator.
Oh my
god!
I saw that too. Oh, this woman riding on an escalator in China, like holding a child, and then she steps off the escalator. You know, she gets to the top. She's and it collapses, and she's getting mangled in the escalator gears. And then she hands her baby off to like some bystanders who don't help her out really.
It is, you can't unsee that.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch it. I just saw stills.
Oh my god!
I can't. I don't know. I'm not really ready to see it.
I had to, like, once she was halfway down the machinery, I was like, I'm turning this off.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to see her head get cut.
You see blood?
No, not really. Because it's like someone going down. It's basically like someone going down into quicksand.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, have you ever seen a video of that in real life? I have. I've seen it in movies.
No. Probably happens really quick. It's probably like, whoop. And go.
So, Brent, okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about the show's legacy, Ken Fowley's legacy.
The nature of cinema.
Nature of cinema, my legacy.
Viral videos.
What is your legacy?
What is my legacy?
I still feel like we can hear a fan. You don't think we can?
It's okay.
All right.
Fans there and there.
Right.
There's many fans going.
We have a lot of fans. We have about 1,700 viewers today.
Look at that right there.
Yeah. So what about your...
My legacy is a work in progress, baby.
Brent Cowley, a work in progress, autobiography. You'll write
You've
it when
read
you're
that already?
75, yeah.
No, I read it when I was 24. And I was...
Do you keep a journal?
I never really have.
You never have?
Have you?
I used to every day write so much. I felt like it helped me. It was therapeutic. Now I don't.
I would love to like have that in my blood, but I just don't.
I can't do it anymore. I don't know what my problem is.
It's probably the smartphone.
How do you... exactly. All the social media fucks me up.
Yeah.
How do you... are you good at processing things in your mind? I'm such a bad thinker.
What do you mean by processing?
Like, I can't do anything in my head. I need to write everything down if I'm dealing with
it. Okay. I'm not even sure what specifically you mean. Like, I just think of math when you say processing. No, I'm not good at processing that.
Do you write ideas
I like forgetting ideas.
Oh, you like that?
I don't necessarily like it, but I also like don't care. Never had like a job that requires ideas.
Well, you consider yourself an artist?
Not really.
Gemini, is that where you work? Gemini?
I did work there, yeah.
I read a delightful oral history of the place called Ma Maison.
What's Ma Maison?
It was a 70s and 80s
restaurant
in LA.
Is it across the street from...
It was on Melrose.
Yeah.
And it was notoriously like Wolfgang Puck's first...
Yeah, this was across the street from
cooking.
Gemini.
You know, he was 25 years old.
Yeah.
And it became this place where like Jack Nicholson, Orson Welles would go there every day, and Wolfgang Puck would try out his new recipes on Orson Welles. And one interesting part in this, it's in the Hollywood Reporter. It's a pretty nice little oral history. They were talking about how the guy who founded Gemini was a regular.
Right.
And then he sort of put like Andy Warhol and a few others, like David Hockney, onto it. And then every 6 months, they would change out their menu cover. And like David Hockney and Robert Rauschenberg,
an artist,
people did the covers. Pretty tight.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't find any of them except for the David Hockney one.
I'm pretty sure that place is directly across the street from Gemini.
But
and that place
doesn't exist now.
No, it doesn't exist. But that bakery, Sweet Lady Jane's, like fairly famous.
Took over. That?
I think is in the same area. They have a big kitchen in the back.
I see. Yeah, it was the reason it was founded by some French guy. Who was like, damn, the weather here is so nice. There's no outdoor eatery in this whole city.
Oh, it was outdoor?
But there was an outdoor patio where everybody... It was like kind of like really huge, and it had like this sort of thatched roof.
Okay.
It was like felt outdoors.
That sounds amazing. Every time I heard stories from like the Gemini 60s, 70s, it was very enticing. I don't know. It just seemed like a whole different world.
Yeah, I know, right? Are you jelly?
Pretty jelly of that sort
of
thing.
So you're headed to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Do you think the Pittsburgh of today will be like the LA of the 70s and 60s?
No.
So famously, what do you call that?
I'm thinking it'll be like the Portland of the 90s or something. That's my guess.
Got it.
Or the early
2000s. Portland of the early 2000s. Yeah. So this is going to be a lot of...
With a lot of snow.
A lot of Sleater or Kinney style music.
I'm not sure about that specifically. But I just think like the sort of like lifestyle of the average person is like... Sort of a
humble
town on the rise.
Humble post-grad liberal.
Sure.
Do you think it's a...
Sure.
I feel like there's probably more of a conservative contingent
In Pittsburgh, then Portland. Although, probably. You know...
I don't know, there's a lot of...
What do they call that? The Northwest Front. There's a lot of... White supremacists call... Pittsburgh? No, Washington.
Oh, sure, sure. See, those conservatives up there, too.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
So what do you think... So these are the main places where you've lived.
Yeah, let's list them.
Providence. New York.
Yeah.
And L.A.
And Philadelphia for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, and Philadelphia, sorry. Anyway, and now Pittsburgh. We're going to add Pittsburgh.
We're going to add Pittsburgh.
And then when you turn 35, it's going to be San Francisco, probably.
We'll see. Oakland. Yeah.
How do you feel, and then probably when you're 50, you will go to Portland, which has been the whole point of your life.
Right. It's all been leading up to that.
Exactly.
And Henry Rollins will have moved there 10 years ago. He'll be 70, and I'll start dating him.
He'll die.
Right.
And you start dating his corpse.
I'll fuck his corpse and take over his entire identity.
Yeah. Which you could.
That's the dream.
Yeah, you're doing a great job already.
Just gotta get that hair real
so
white.
So what do you think? I mean, Pittsburgh, are you gonna love it?
I'm not expecting to love it. I'm expecting to go into a program that will be very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
That will be basically like, I don't know, as close as like a med program. Like all those things that are like, you're working 12, 14 hours a day. I'm
great.
Expecting
you
to
love
do.
To get immersed in science.
I'm hoping
right?
I loved. I'm hoping that I will love
but
it.
But you do. You have in the past loved to get. Do you feel like the thing that's been missing in your life for the past 10 years are assignments?
Assignments?
Like having a mentor overlord.
I think you're
who
like
expects a lot
casting
of
me as way more of a scholastic person.
I'm
than
curious.
I am.
Because I know I need that. I love assignments, and I don't think I've had enough.
I like assignments. I also start to freak out about them and demonize them and become terrified of them. Like, I don't have, like, a very benevolent relationship with assignments. Every once in a while, they can be a real eye-opener.
You don't find that they push you to create work that you're proud of?
Sometimes. If they're good assignments.
Are you
good at a lot of bad assignments,
too. Are you good at pushing... Yeah, it's true. Are you good at pushing yourself without external forces?
Not really. But that's part of the reason why I'm going to grad school,
right.
Is to work on that skill.
Oh, okay. To work...
Vivify
calibrate
my life.
Revivify your motivation to
exactly.
create.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, I congratulate you on your development. Do you think you'll find a life partner?
Do I think that?
Yeah.
I've been told by one or two people that they expect me to. But I'm not counting on it.
Like they're like, Brent,
they're
make
like,
us proud.
Yeah.
You have to find a wife.
Brent, you're like a Pittsburgh guy. You should be in Pittsburgh.
You're a Pittsburgh guy. The Pittsburgh
girl.
Why are you in LA? The Pittsburgh girl of your dreams is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your love life in LA. Now that you're leaving, in hindsight, how would you assess it? You came here with
my love life in LA.
You came here with a girlfriend that you had for 3 years.
That is correct.
Or longer, maybe.
No, under 3 years at that time.
A year after you moved here, or a year and a half after you moved here, you guys were done.
No, like 3-4 months.
3-4 months after
and
you
then,
moved here,
yeah,
you were done. She, your girlfriend at the time was like, I'm here to fucking party.
Yeah.
Like, fuck Brent. Like, he's just the man holding me down. He's just the oppressive patriarchal
figure.
I like
hearing your history of this.
Okay, right. And so then you were with just a lonely, horny toad.
Right, because I was in a place where I was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
You were?
Yeah, so it was very hard
where?
To like find at that prop house.
Oh, right.
Prop fabrication.
You worked there for 2.5 years?
For 1 year. 1 year, one
How
month.
Long have you been here? Four
Five
years?
5 years. Yeah.
Too long?
No,
would
I'm not
going
to say that. No,
would
I
you
think
say
it's
your time
here just
out here?
The right amount of time.
Would you say your time out here has been a total and complete waste?
Not at all.
Okay. What would you say has been good about your last 5 years here?
I would say
besides our radio show together.
As much as it sort of pains me to say.
Yeah.
I would say that my job has been a good thing. In
your recent one.
Yeah, at Gemini GEL, which I worked at for a total of 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was a
lot of... Do you feel like you've made lifelong friends there?
They felt like lifelong friends when I was working there.
It felt like we spent a lifetime together, if you know what I mean.
I love the people that I met there and respect them, but I don't know if I'll be, like, calling them on a weekly basis.
But you'll be calling me, for instance, every other day.
Yeah, that happens already. It'll just intensify when I'm lonely.
When you're lonely. Okay, so let's get back to your love life, all right? So then you were a horny toad, and you were working 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
But were you ever tempted? Now, when you worked in the props, were most of your coworkers, like, Latino?
A lot of them were.
Were you ever tempted to potentially engage in homosexual sex with any of them?
No, I wasn't.
Were any of them women? Why? Why is it funny that I say that?
I guess it's just funny because I never would have ever thought. They were just like rough and tumble dudes that were like...
That's usually the best fuck.
You're right. I should have been thinking about that.
Well, it certainly would have made your life story, the Brent Work in Progress autobiography, a little bit more of a bestseller.
I was just telling a friend of mine that I think I was... fantasizing of other homosexual lovers at the time, like
who?
Like Ashlyn Mimes.
Oh yeah, did you have fantasies about him?
I didn't have fantasies about him, but I thought, hey, if I'm going to like
do that,
if I'm gonna go gay, I might as well go big when I go gay.
Are you referring to the potential size of Ash? I mean, are you speculating on Ashlyn's size, or you mean he's explicitly
a gay man
as opposed to the people, the Latino coworkers that you had,
who are completely straight
homophobes, who probably called you an American a lot behind your back.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean by that. Not the size.
Okay, if you had to put yourself on a spectrum between racist and rapist, which would you say you're closer to?
I'm going to say I'm right in the middle.
Okay, great. Good answer.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I've just been fixated on those two words because they're literally just swapped out one letter. Yeah. And then those seem to be huge words in our, especially social media discourse nowadays, in our liberal media online.
Even more so
PC.
In the last couple of years. Sure.
Yeah, these days. Yeah. Exactly. So I just think it's, you know, a bigger name for our art show, too. Racist or rapist?
We should just outlaw those letters, at least R and A.
What would you do during Wheel of Fortune?
I don't know. We'll just have to live without them, I guess. We'll figure out a way through.
What's a game like that? Is there a game like that where they don't let you use certain letters? Hangman or something?
Like other languages?
Is that, other languages.
Are those considered games?
Okay. So then you're a single guy.
Sure.
And then you enter into another relationship with a much younger girl.
Right.
What was the age difference between you and your basically long-term girlfriend in LA?
It was 9 years.
9 year difference. Yeah, she's 9 years younger than you.
Yeah.
And what's the age difference between you and your sister?
6 years.
She's 6 years older than you.
Yeah.
And do you feel like there's a relation there? I'm doing the numerology. If you combine those two, it gets 69.
Okay.
Do you think your parents conceive of you in a 69 formation?
My mom spat the cum that my dad shot into her mouth into her vagina?
Hey, man, you said it, not me. Okay, I don't know how conception would
happen in that position.
I mean, it could just be part of the foreplay that led to your birth.
Okay,
I wasn't trying to like come up a new way of making a baby.
Yeah.
Did you promote this episode at all?
No,
I didn't.
No one promotes these episodes, right? Like I don't see it.
I promoted the first few, but then it's just a.
And now it's like it's a safe space.
It's a safe. No. This is a dangerous space. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to.
Are you scared? Okay, and do you feel like you and your sister are in different generations?
Well, 6 years, like, I guess I don't know. I don't know how generations are defined.
Well, do you feel like you and your long-term girlfriend in LA
was different people?
Yeah, I guess so. You're right.
But I thought generations are more like 20 years or something.
And how do you look back upon that relationship in hindsight?
My sister?
No. That you had your intimate relationship. Your.
It's like still pretty fresh.
You can't assess it right now.
I don't really have a way of assessing it.
Well, you went out for what? 3.5 years? 4 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your real face. You're looking at my face in the mirror.
Well, let me look you deep in the eyes, Brett, right now, and let me just say, when you're with someone,
yeah,
a lot of times, or not a lot, but sometimes you say, I just like to be single for a second, you know?
Sure.
And then when you're single, you say a lot of times, like, God, I wish I was with someone.
Right.
And now it's that like, you're, how quick, I mean, if you had to predict, how long is it going to take before you're basically in a fully committed one-on-one relationship in Pittsburgh? A month?
No.
5 months?
I would think there's a good chance I will not be even a whole year without a committed relationship.
That's a lot of mayonnaise jars to fill, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just saying, if we're like taking the past as an example,
right? The past.
Like, you ran through my relationships in LA. Like, there was a good almost 2 years between.
How many Logan times did you hook up,
Haley?
Between Logan and Haley. That 2 year period of singleness as a bachelor, that's the point of the show. The sexy 30-year-old bachelor.
Right. Yeah.
How many sexual partners did you think you had?
Not as many as most people would have.
Five? Well, it's okay.
Three, I think. Yeah.
And did you raw dog it with all of them?
Does that mean have unprotected
sex
with them?
That's right.
This is really opening up and bleeding.
Also, well, you don't have to answer it, but here's what I'll say. I read that unprotected sex is on the rise.
Okay.
I'm going to say
that I didn't raw dog it.
You had protected sex.
I had protected sex in between then. Between the larger relationships.
But in the... Okay, yeah, that's great. And you've been tested.
Yes, I have been
tested.
And you're
a clean guy.
Times. I'm a clean guy. Knock on wood.
Yeah. How do you like my new hairdo?
I love your new hairdo.
Isn't it kind
of
funny?
I always am amazed. The night of my birthday when you showed up, that was like the perfect bouffant.
Cool, man. I'm glad I could do it for you.
You really did it right then.
You had a good birthday, Brent. A good sushi, whatever.
I enjoyed it. It went really late. I went to
Did you go to All Star Lanes?
I went to All Star Lanes.
I heard the show at El Cid was actually good.
Yeah, I wish I had gone there.
Yeah, I heard that was really good.
I probably would have preferred to have gone there.
What was the party you went to?
I went to a party. It was a girl's birthday party named Mona Palmer.
Oh, yeah. She seems cool.
Yeah, she's cool.
I sent her a message on Facebook like a few months ago being like, you're cool. Because I read an interview she did with some artist that I thought was interesting. Because she does the Voyeur store and blog or whatever.
I should get deep into the Voyeur. I haven't read that interview.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff there, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, you seem cool, but I don't think I've ever really had a convo with her IRL.
Yeah.
So you went to her birthday party and did you talk to her?
Yeah, we talked. And it was chill.
Cool. Rock on.
And then I went to sleep at 5 in the morning.
Oh, y'all, because y'all talk deep into the night? Or just because the party
was? Partly, the party was just, it was really fun. And I ran into my friends from New York from the band Yaysayer.
Oh, your old college chums.
Yeah.
Connor's old roommate.
Right, exactly.
I think him and Connor got into a feud, but who knows, maybe they buried it. But I was going to say, hey man, I told you that if you ended up doing some fun that night, give me a call.
Didn't I call you?
I don't know. Did you text me?
I think I texted you.
You said I'm going to this house party?
This house party is going to rule.
Huh.
It's 2 a.m. What did you end up doing?
Well, we went to the Mocha for Step and Repeat.
Right.
And then we went to Night Gallery.
Okay.
And then I think around 12:30, Joan and I were like, fuck this, we hate art world shit.
Yeah.
We're going to go home and watch a movie in bone.
That sounds good.
I think we did that. But, I always like to go to a house party. I think that's like a good environment for me.
I wish you had been there, man.
Next time. No FOMO.
Yeah. There was a little Sam Block appearance.
Do you think you're gonna be in a band in Pittsburgh? I think one of the things that was missing. I mean, like yeah, you
in my life.
Yeah, I mean you were playing music for a hot second with Connor and Cal.
I enjoyed that.
But you need to play music more in your life.
I think that would be fun.
I think you need to be more.
Yeah, tell me all the things I need to do.
Here's what you need to do. One, you need to have a badass bitch by your side.
All right.
Okay.
Check.
Someone who's proud of all of your intellect, who can keep your drinking unchecked, you know?
Right. Someone who doesn't enable.
Who doesn't enable you, but in fact keeps you sober because that's when you're at your best.
Right.
And someone who, that's one thing. But then you yourself need to play music more, all right?
Okay.
I'm looking you in the eyes right here through the camera. You need to play music more, okay?
All right.
And you need to be more involved in the creative sphere. Now, LA, of course, can be a pretty intimidating space. I mean, I am an egomaniacal and aggressive character, and I haven't fully been able to get a strong foothold in places where I want to have, a place.
Right.
Hollywood or whatever.
Sure.
Or maybe even the art world. Who knows? Even Kanye West can't get a good foothold in the art world, and that man conquers so many industries. So
he betrayed 2 Grammys to be
right. That's something he said, right? Did you just read the headline or you read the article?
I read a couple articles about that at the LACMA premiere.
Uh huh.
Kanye, I love that guy.
I love him too. I mean, maybe you're kidding, but I am a fan.
No, I do.
He's like, you know how like there's Mario and there's Wario.
Right. He's the Wario.
No. I would say Kanye West is to Mario as Donald Trump is to Wario.
Oh, wow.
Because they're both instigators. They're both out on a mission.
Right.
They're both causing, they're going through tunnels, and they're collecting coins,
yep.
And they're growing when they take the mushrooms and whatever, and they're trying to save the princess, but one's doing it for good. I think Kanye is doing it for good.
I think so.
And one is doing it for evil. Trump.
Yeah, isn't it great to have supervillains in the world?
I am looking forward to, and I think this date is actually coming quite soon, when I will be the proud owner of a Donald Trump Make America Great Again hat. Have you seen him wearing this white hat that's kind of like this almost NWA-ish hat that was reversed? It's all white with black lettering, and it says Make America Great Again.
Just the initials of it?
No. Okay. I mean, it just has this very minimalist, almost like 80s, like Raiders-esque.
Black on white.
White hat, black letter.
Yeah.
It's very minimal, you know?
That's how
you haven't seen it?
No.
Let me just show you.
Yeah, show it.
Okay, we're
Can
just...
Can you share the screen? It's so small. Oh, no, okay, all right.
Yeah, maybe
it just looks like a horrible like.
I know it's
golf
really
cap.
Poorly designed. I mean, can we share it? I think probably.
It's just gonna change the.
What if it ruins everything?
Probably.
All right, fuck it.
All right.
Anyway, we can't do it. But
so
you guys look it up.
Yeah, he looks really badass wearing it.
And I will too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really funny. It has like this, like it has like this, like.
I kinda wish it was like more like Run DMC like style, like sans serif font. But
it's pretty. Look, it's pretty like nice. I mean, it's minimal in this way that's funny, and like the idea that he wants to make America great again when he's
of course. How could he not?
I don't know. Like, what is exceptional now?
American exceptionalism?
Is there such a thing as something being exceptional? Like, Brent, like, if you meet this girl of your dreams...
Right.
I get it. Your whole future, in my mind, is revolved around that. It has nothing to do with school.
Sure.
And she said, Brent, the government's after me.
Okay.
We need to get off the grid. Would you go off the grid with her?
Like, just, like, drop out of life or, like, fully...
You would provide your own food, water, housing, and you just wouldn't be using technology. You wouldn't
be in America somehow?
Somewhere in America, but you just wouldn't...
North Dakota?
Yeah, you could watch, you could stream movies, but you just wouldn't be participating in social media. You could still visit your friends. you could go to shows and stuff, but you wouldn't buy anything.
But we'd have to, like, make sure not to make too big of a splash because the government's after
her. Well, yeah, the government's after her.
Right.
She will definitely not be making any income. You probably won't have a job either if you really want to be off the grid, but you will be somehow making money. Maybe you'll be selling
so in this fantasy world,
your paintings
we're
online.
We're, like, living fairly comfortable. It's just all about unplugging.
I don't want to say super comfortable. I'd say you're scraping by in a way that's admirable and humble.
Okay. And you're saying, would I choose that lifestyle?
Yeah. For the right girl.
Just in general, I could see choosing that lifestyle. Should I
don't,
make it as loud
don't,
as possible?
No, don't create, like...
Don't make waves.
Yeah, well, don't make peaks.
Yeah, so are you saying you would hate doing that? Like, that would be like...
This isn't about me. This
it's
is about
always
you.
About both of us. That's a true interviewer.
Speaking of personal hell, I recently wrote an idea for a movie, and then when I finished, I said, maybe this is a play. But you tell me, Brent, okay?
I'm going to tell you straight up.
It's about two characters. One is sort of a social media darling a la Kim Kardashian, who maybe became famous through a sex tape, and then is basically her whole world revolves around maintaining all of her, like, you know, her virtual persona and making appearances and endorsing shit, okay?
Yeah.
And she's about to get on this airplane to go to, like, this big, to give a speech or fake DJ at some place, okay?
Yeah, okay.
At the same time, we're tracking with a ISIS-inspired and potentially trained domestic terrorist.
Okay.
Who, you know, fully believes in a sort of radical form of Islam, and just sees American Western sort of capitalism and atheism as a sort of, like, completely heathenistic lifestyle, and sees this woman as a personification of that. And of
is
course,
he, like, seeing, like, news reports about her, like,
he's already she's already a target before it begins, and he basically hijacks her plane.
Okay,
kills everyone on it. Except for her, and kidnaps her, and then they get into long sort of philosophical discussions about their differing lifestyles and which one has more value. And then they fuck.
I think you should write the script and have James Toback direct it.
I think James Toback should write the script and I'll direct it.
All right. Or just collaborate.
With Toback.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's of course
co-directed.
Speaking of famous rapists, he's of course gonna be doing the casting calls for the female lead.
Right, of course.
He's gonna be standing outside of every 24-hour fitness in Gold's Gym in LA.
There's so many, like, Instagram models you could snipe for that.
It'd be great to actually get, like, Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton.
Sure. I think that would definitely deeply enrich it. You know, like Vanessa Hudgens or something.
Well, I'm not trying to make Spring Breakers 2. You know? Spring Breakers, what a squandered opportunity.
Alright, so I think that should be a movie, not a...
Oh, great! Thank you. Yeah, I sent it one...
I don't know if it would work as a play.
I love the part about just cross-cutting between their two realities. Like, actually really...
I think that just seems really hard to accomplish in a play.
Yeah, of course. Well, the play would just be, like, the second act. But, like, I love the idea of starting her thing at, like, a lawyer's office drafting a will.
Right.
Like, I love the idea of the social media start drafting a will.
Her will.
Yeah, and in it she has the password to all her social media accounts. And just, she's really thinking about her legacy. And I thought about this because of I'm reading Tolstoy's Confession.
Okay.
Where he basically comes to the conclusion that the main value of faith is to give a meaning to life. Because it creates a value for life after you're dead. And now we almost don't need to have a value for life after we're dead.
Going back to the legacy.
Because we have because we have this digital virtual legacy.
Sure. Okay.
And for a lot of these, I think...
But was Tolstoy a believer? Like,
he became a hardcore believer.
And he believed that there was an afterlife. It wasn't just a thing that, like...
He was a skeptic for a long time and just sort of like a casual, like, kind of like Christian or occasionally atheist.
Yeah.
And just sinful. In the way that, like, maybe St. Augustine or something was, like, sinful. And then he became a hardcore believer. Like, in the last 10 years of his life, he basically worked with peasants every day in
the field for like 6 or 7 yeah. hours a day, and then would go to church and pray with them and eat with them, and then he would write.
And he thought the entire reason for doing that was...
Well, no, that was his main vow. That's what basically like affirmed faith for him. Right. Was this idea.
And he wrote this at the confession at like a fulcrum point.
He wrote it basically before his, right before his death.
Right before
his death. It was the last thing he wrote.
Tolstoy, man.
I mean, he's a transparent fool. I mean, I'll take Dostoevsky any day over Tolstoy.
I've only read Dostoevsky. I've never read any Tolstoy.
You never read Anna Karenina or War and Peace.
I want to dive in at some point in my life. I don't know when.
It's good to read, and it is lyrical.
Yeah.
In a way that seems much more organic than, let's say, Dostoevsky, but the ideas in it are much less, like, timeless.
Right.
They seem much more frozen or something like that. And, like, I don't know, whatever. They grapple with mortality, which I think we all do.
Sure.
I don't know where Eric is, but we're coming kind of down to the wire.
We are down to the wire. So, is there a way to...
Oh, Eric's not coming? Up? Eric's not coming, Brian says. So we can keep going for hours. But I think we should just maybe in the next 5 to 10 minutes wrap it up.
Of course.
What else?
We can get... work function.
Are you going to take over?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So we're going to get out of here in 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Thanks. Do you think this is going well, or do you think this is mad boring?
Yeah, it's been very funny. I liked some of the film discussions.
Well. Uh-huh. Did you like that film?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to probably extend it tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Mario Wario debate. That
right.
played well.
Okay, over there right, with over our there. Audience.
Great. So, yeah, keep
oh, thanks, Brian. That's we need a little I guess bit. Hour number two. We've always lamented the death of the 2 hour Brent huge time
Man,
slot.
Man, that would be a lot to take on talking for 2 hours. Look, what's the longest that you've gone for?
An hour and 10.
Hour and 10, yeah.
So I guess bottom line is, okay, let me ask you a question. When you first moved to LA, the things that you thought were the coolest,
right.
like in terms of music or movies or art,
sure.
that you thought were just like so on point,
okay,
are they different than what you think in
yeah,
this field
of course.
Now? What did you think was like next level, if you can remember?
Next level? I mean, I wouldn't describe things as next level.
What were
level.
Your favorite things?
That was
thing?
Definitely like five plus years ago, I was really vibing on Ariel Pink.
Right.
Like, I was really,
I think
really
maybe a lot of people were.
Enjoying his, like, entire oeuvre, and it's, like, kind of culmination with that Before Today
yeah.
record.
Uh-huh.
And then I
right, you're
subsequently
not...
actively disliked a lot of the stuff he's come out with
yeah.
since then.
Or maybe you just haven't
then,
really enjoyed the last two albums.
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
No, just, or, yeah, same
You've
thing,
actively
right.
disliked?
A lot of the songs on a lot of the albums, yeah. I love, like, some of the singles on those records, but, like, the more, like, Zappa-esque
yeah,
experimentation,
yeah.
I just find...
Goofy
very rough. Very rough to listen to.
Yeah, you think they're insulting.
A little bit.
Okay, like, and now what has taken the place of your former hero?
Oh, no.
Ariel Pink?
It's just more multifarious.
But what do you think is, like... really good right now, music-wise. It doesn't
I
have
really
to be.
Have
it doesn't
listened
have,
to like a
it doesn't
ton
have to be
of
contemporary.
Different stuff in the last year or so. Like, I've almost become more out there with like my entire like fucking too much genre thing. Is that?
I don't know what you mean. I mean, now I'm just imagining. I kind of
like,
zoned
literally
out.
I'll like go from like listening to like 50s jazz to like hardcore punk or whatever. You know, it's
yeah.
like, there's no like unifying theme that I can
like. What about
point
Odd
out.
Future though?
I never listen to Odd Future. Uh-huh. Every
what about
Tyler the Creator record that's come out since 2010 has been really bad in my estimation.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoy some of the stuff on like 92.3, like I don't know, Ray Shremmerd or
Nicki
Minaj
zone. Yeah.
Or Kanye West.
Wow,
I enjoy
so,
that stuff.
Okay, good.
Drake.
Drake, yeah.
But
I love the new Drake song. The recent one. I think it's called Energy or like about enemy
Enemies. Got a lot of enemies.
Yeah. Like trying one. To take my energy. Yeah.
There's a lot of Drake songs.
On the radio right now?
Yeah, because probably like half of his last mixtape is just being played on the radio.
Singled. It's being singled out.
Being singled out. Just like.
Would you ever go on a TV dating show now that you're a single guy?
No. Can you believe that Chris Hardwick is a cultural icon?
Well,
now?
They went in two funny directions, right? So Chris Hardwick basically re-branded himself, because that's a popular word now, branding,
sure.
As an official nerd.
Right.
Like the nerd. He even has a site called The Nerdist.
Yeah.
And he's doing well in that world. And then Jenny McCarthy is basically the spokesperson for the anti-vaxxers.
Oh, right. I forgot that was like her thing. Wow.
Right? And that's like probably one of the least nerdy things, because it's right. Steeped in a very falsely predicated mumbo jumbo science. Like all of those people who are anti-vaxxers
sounds
believe,
like something nerds would be into.
Yeah, but all of those anti-vaxxers like truly
just like breeder nerds. Anyway. Is that a good place to end on?
No. Just talk about yourself. The good place to end on is, Brent, I want to ask you, like 3 years from now,
okay,
the ideal Brent Cowley existence
right.
is
I own a house and a dog.
You own the dog.
Yeah. I rent the dog. I own the house.
I mean,
that actually would be nice.
When they have a dog, when they get a dog, the dog ends up owning them.
That's what you're trying to say, is that I'll be the pooch.
I mean, you're the one who's picking up the shit, right?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I envision myself being alone with the dog, not in a relationship.
Okay, that sounded a little bit pervy.
Exactly. I'm going to abuse the dog, both physically and sexually, because no one will be around.
Hashtag PETA!
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
Alicia Silverstone.
Pam Anderson. Anyway, 90s icon, hashtag!
I would never abuse a dog, but...
Would you ever abuse me?
Not taking any shit from the dog.
But picking up the shit from the dog.
Right, of course.
And then where is your house? What part of the country? Oakland? Oakland.
I would like to live here.
Oh, okay. They call it Silicon Beach.
Yeah, Venice or Mount Washington. I don't know. Where do you see yourself in 3 years? I've never asked you that because it's such a weird question.
Yeah, exactly. Why would anyone ever ask me that? That's such a dumb, only a dumbass question I can ask other people. 3 years? I gave myself a deadline. Okay. Like if I am not in a place where I have had something that a large swath of people have seen and I am vaguely in demand by the age of 33
Bullet.
As a filmmaker, I gotta give up.
And move on to something else.
Just fucking lawyer or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that seems rational. The timeline that I
so
am
much
on
pain,
right now.
So much pain in my life. So much struggle. Like too much struggle. Like too much.
Right. I decided to go back to school basically right after I turned 33. So it's a good place to be.
I'm just saying that.
I need a change.
I'm just saying that basically because every single time I talk to my parents, they give me shit. I'll keep going. I'll keep going till I fucking die, but I don't... I basically... The problem
that's,
is...
That's a line you, feed your parents?
Yeah, 33. Right. The problem is that I am a smart person with lots of resources, and I hope to God some level of talent.
Yeah.
But I'm living the lifestyle of a pathetic drug addict.
Who never does drugs.
I don't use any drugs.
I guess that would be my question.
Sad.
Is if you would ever sort of change gears for a limited time just to make your life more comfortable. Go and make your money somewhere and then come back recharged. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, for sure. Like when I do end up writing, I end up writing everything in the course of 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'll be working on a treatment, a 20-page treatment for a month and a half.
Right, right.
And I'll actually have written most of it over the course of 15 hours.
Yeah.
But I need to put it all... But maybe if I had a full-time job, I'd still have those 15 hours.
Yeah, you gotta get a full-time job where you make more than 100 grand a year. Work that for two and a half years.
We sound like such tools.
Just be writing treatments and like fucking choosing the best treatment out of your 100 treatments and then go back and take your money.
It's not about me, Brent. It's about you. All right, so I'll...
That's my vision for you.
Thank you,
What's your vision for me?
My vision for you is you have...
Raping the dog.
No, you have two... Like, okay, this is a future world.
This is 3 years from now.
Right. So in the future, one of the main innovations for youth culture they're going to have are these sorts of tattoos that if you touch them or rub them a certain way, they become invisible.
Right.
And then if you rub them again, they become back to visible. And you're going to have two really funny big ones on your face.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, there are my fake glasses. Yes. Okay, great.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so... You're going to have two on your face.
Two on my face.
One is going to be just like a cool tribal, but the other one is going to be like a big dick.
Oh, wow. That's your vision.
What else? Okay. You're also... One crazy fashion trend from 3 years from now is that everyone is going to... We're basically, because of global warming, no one's going to wear... pants anymore.
Right.
Everyone's going to wear really, really furry, puffy, like kind of Speedo tighty whitey.
Okay. All right. So like it's really hot still, like right in your crotch.
Yeah, oh my God. Everyone has swamp ass and sweaty nuts.
Full on fur.
Exactly. And you will have a dog, but the dog will be a robot and it will talk. And in the future, this talking robot dog will go like into work for you, like once every 2 weeks, you'll have to come in and do you have to do really complicated human stuff where it's like, you know, like talking to people in China and like just kind of like conceptualizing stuff. But the other 13 days out of the week, because a week in the future is gonna be 14 days, the robot dog will do it. So, you are married, but weirdly enough, based off of the seed that was planted in your brain tonight, it's to one of your male Latino former co-workers from the Proud House.
Down.
Yeah, well,
like,
no, you
carry
guys,
him out like
you
an officer
right after school, after you finished up this design program, you went back to LA, and you don't have your car, you haven't bought a car yet, so you're taking the bus, and you bump into the guy.
Right.
Because he's taking the bus because, I don't know, he's on parole because he was giving people, like, illegal versions of this tattoo, and he told them it was going to be able to go invisible, but he gave them, like, permanent non-invisible tattoos.
I'm seeing an Arctic Monkeys video right here.
Well, tell Aaron...
This is how you do your treatment.
Tell Aaron Brown because he's their video go-to guy.
All right. I'll let him know.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm loving your future and I'm loving your present. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me,
Bleed. Brent, I want to thank you for all for everything, all of the pleasure and joy that you have brought me as a co-DJ. Like I feel privileged to have spent that time with you, and I can only wish you the best in your travels.
Cool.
And I hope to see updates on the internet.
You will.
Of, you know, most of your collages and creative work is usually black and white in nature.
Sometimes.
I'm hoping to see some splashes of color.
I have a lot of color collages.
Okay. I'm hoping to pay attention to splashes of color.
Pay attention to that.
In the future. And just one more time, and that's been another episode of Open Up and Bleed with our dear friend Brent Cowley. Tune in next week for episode 8.
Bye.
We will have Molly Lambert. I'm just throwing that out there so I can guilt her into being
Molly Lambert
on the air.
Old friend from Providence.
Woo! KTRM Radio. Okay.